A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom, to another the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another mighty deeds, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another varieties of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes. The word of the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. And when the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, How does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." And his mothers looked at the servers and said, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone jars there for ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he said to them, "Draw some of it out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn it, the water, knew, the head waiter called to the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of the signs in Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and how are you? I'm really blessed because right after this Mass, I'm going on vacation for 10 days. And you won't see me again to the 27th. Ha, ha, ha. So those online too, sorry, you can get the homilies, but you're not going to see me. You should be ecstatic. Anyway, as we come and we focus on the wedding feast at Cana, we've heard the story a million times. But we see here the last words of Mary. The very last words of Mary recorded in the scriptures is, "Do whatever he tells you." So here's the Mother of God telling us the last words she's to speak. Do whatever Jesus tells you. And so there's two things with that. First, we've got to listen to him so we can hear what he tells us. And then we got to do what he tells us, right? It goes hand in hand. So this is something very important for living the spiritual life. So the first thing we got to do is listen. Now, to listen to Jesus, of course, it's going to take 3 different places so we can really know we're hearing the voice of God instead of making up something, right? First of all, we have to pray. Now, that's a good reality when we pray and we're listening in prayer. So you got to make sure, we've talked about it a million times, you have at least 5 minutes of your prayer time dedicated to listening to Jesus. But then you got to go deeper, because sometimes we sit there and we think we're listening to Jesus, but we're really listening to ourselves. We're really listening to the people who agree with us, the echo chambers around us. And so we only focus on what I want to hear. We're not really open to truth because it's really about God, just give me what I want. So the first thing you got to do is we need to pray. And in our prayer, we got to have time for listening. The second thing, of course, is he's going to speak to us in his word. So spending time with the scriptures every day. You've heard me say it for 20-some years here. No Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. And again, that we go to the word of God and we listen to Jesus before we listen to the world, the flesh, the devil. We listen to Jesus before we turn on the news. We listen to Jesus before we listen to our spouse. We listen to Jesus before we listen to anybody else. So the scriptures are where God primarily talks to us. But isn't it interesting that, let's say you and I both pray every day, and we're praying for an hour. Let's say we're doing our holy hour every day, and we're spending time with scripture every day, and we totally disagree on something. Can that happen? It happens every day in the church now, doesn't it? So how do we know what is of God and what is not of God? Because you and I might argue about it and say, well, this is what I think. Or, you know, this week is the time for Roe versus Wade. So how many Christians fight about, well, I think a woman should have a right to choose. No, you will be damned for all eternity. A person could never kill a baby. And we fight and we argue and we yada, yada, yada. Why? First of all, because we're not listening to God, nor are we listening to each other. We're just fighting. So how do we sit there and then know truth? And how do we know the voice of God? Well, we got to pray. We got to read scripture. And then we got to listen to the magisterium of the church. And what is the magisterium? The Pope and the bishops in unison. So that means that's how we know what is of God. That's how we know we're listening to God's voice. If one of those three things are not falling into place, well, something's wrong. To truth, to be truth, it all has to agree. So if I see something different than the scripture, who's right? The scripture. If I see something different than the church teaching, the teaching of the church, who's right? The teaching of the church. We need all three of these things to listen to God. And so we just got to make sure, am I a person who's listening to God using those three avenues? My prayer, the scripture, and the magisterium. And again, the magisterium isn't one bishop or one cardinal or a handful. It's them in agreement, right? Again, on my podcast on Sunday or Thursday, I sat there and I talked about how, you know, the synod's coming up and it's the first time we're going to listen to everybody in the whole church and the whole world. Everybody, including here, people wherever you're at are going to have a chance to do that. And some people are going nuts. Oh, please. The problem is we don't listen to each other. Including me. But then one guy, and I said, so the Pope to me is the most person by far, the biggest presence of Christ in the world. So this guy says to me, I'd really like to know why you think that Pope Francis, perhaps the most wicked man to ever be Pope, no, the Holy Spirit did not make him Pope, is the closest thing to Jesus that we have today, to use your own words. What do you base this on? I base it on the words of Jesus Christ. You are Peter, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And so when we talk about listening to Jesus, we must listen to the magisterium, or we're no longer Catholic. This man has separated himself from the Catholic faith. He's now a Protestant. He doesn't even believe the Pope was given to us by the Holy Spirit. Protestant, he separated himself. Anyone here that believes that, you have separated yourself, you're no longer Catholic. It's just that simple. To hear the voice of God, all three things must click. And if we go deeper, if something's wrong, we're the ones that are wrong. We are not listening enough to God. If we disagree with the magisterium, if we disagree with the scripture, then we are wrong. You got to know it. You got to believe it. Because if not, then we make ourselves God. I am the magisterium. what I believe is true is true. So I got to listen to Jesus and make sure I'm listening to Jesus. And I told you the three ways to do it. And then you and I got to live what Jesus asks us to do. Now that's the hard part. You know, every morning when I get up and I go in front of the Blessed Sacrament and I surrender my life to Jesus, I say, Lord, help me to live your will today. Because I don't know about you, but I like to live my will most days. I like to do it my way, which means I can go to hell for all eternity doing it my way, correct? That's all of us. When we're only listening to ourselves, when we're only wanting to do it our way, what waits for us is damnation. Because we did it our way instead of God's way. That's why it's so important that we're listening to Jesus. And we're then doing what Jesus tells us. Not the world, not the flesh, not the devil, not the people that agree with us, not the people of our political persuasion. We listen to Jesus. And then as Mary commands us today, 2,000 years ago to this very day, we must then do whatever he tells you. You got it? You get it? You're going to live it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen. Let us stand.